The title of the message is The Thanksgiving of Praise. Praise and thanks go hand in hand, actually. It's like both sides of the same coin. Because I don't see how you can be thankful and without giving praise. And I don't see how you can give praise without being thankful. And praise is something we all admit we need to do more of. And we do the best we can to be full of praise and thanks. But sometimes life throws things at us. And when life throws things at us, we can lose our determination to be givers of praise. And sometimes we're not quite as appreciative or thankful for what we really have. And guess what? That's where the devil wants you. Sometimes, in the heat of the struggle, we can create in ourselves tunnel vision, and it leaves us neglecting what God leaves us on this earth to be and to do. Because, I mean, if you really think about it, why did He leave us here after we got saved? We sing about heaven and how wonderful it is, and man, going to sleep and waking up in glory, that's awesome. And everybody says, that's the way I want to go when it comes time to it. Just go to sleep and then wake up. And I want Him to come, and I'm afraid of heights, but He's going to rapture me out. But I'm ready. I'm ready for Him to come. Take us home. And if He came right today, maybe some of the people we've been talking to would realize, oh yeah, they're gone. Something happened. Maybe they would turn to Christ. I hope. But we have a great opportunity. We've been left behind for a purpose, a reason, and it's not just so that we can go to work and go to home to work, and then on, come to church and go to home. And that's not why God put us here. It's so we could make a great difference and give Him glory. And part of that is the giving of thanks and praise. I looked at two places in Scripture, and I thought, well, when it comes to praise, we're in Scripture, and there actually were more examples, so I had to just pick one. But I wanted to show you first the bungling of praise. When you bungle something, what have you done? You've messed it up. You blew it, so to speak. And there's one place in Scripture where somebody totally blew it. They had an opportunity, and they blew it. If you turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 6, 2 Samuel chapter 6. This may be a little bit loud for me. Okay, you got it. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, I want to start reading verse 12. A very familiar story. Now it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him on account of the ark of God. And David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And so it was that when the bearers of the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. And David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouting and the sound of the trumpet. Then it happened, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent, which David pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings, peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering the burnt offering and peace offering, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Further, he distributed to all the people and to all the multitude of Israel, both to men and women, a cake of bread, and one with dates, one with raisins, to each one. Then all the people departed, each to his house. But when David returned to bless his household, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how the king of Israel distinguished himself today. He uncovered himself today in the eyes of his servants, maids, as one of the foolish ones shamelessly uncovers himself. So David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will celebrate before the Lord, and I will be more lightly esteemed than this, and will be humble in my own eyes, but with the maids of whom you have spoken with them, I will be distinguished. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to bless the reading of your word. Help us to begin to understand exactly the message involved right here. This is not merely a record of history, but it's something for us to behold, to understand, and to benefit from. And I ask you, Lord, help us to begin today to start praising and thanking you every day as a 24/7 job. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, if there was somebody that really messed up an opportunity to praise, it was her, Michal. She was raised in the palace. She was the king's daughter. And she was used to pomp and circumstance and propriety. But with all those things being said, it was no excuse for what she did. There was a window of opportunity for her to give great glory to God and to praise. But yet, she bungled it. She blew it. And I began thinking, what created this monster and what happened? It said in verse 16 that when she saw, she despised him in her heart. She despised David in her heart. This was her husband. I mean, this is a sad testimony that she despises her husband in her heart. What was he doing wrong? What was he doing so terribly wrong to her that she could despise him in her heart? He was leaping and dancing and praising God. How did that offend her? You see, that's what happens when you bungle praise. And you say, well, I'm seeing she was wrong. I want you to see it when you do it. That's the goal today. It's not just to read Scripture and memorize Scripture. It's to apply it to where we live right now. See, first of all, she got jealous. She saw him out there in front of everybody praising God, and she thought, well, that is below a king. And when she said that, she became critical of him. How many people run around and you try to do something right for God, you're trying to serve God, and you've got a bunch of critics judging you, correcting you, telling you what they think about what you're doing? Yeah, David had it, and it was coming from Michal, his wife. You see, she also, when somebody's critical, it goes to open ridicule. And she actually met him and ridiculed him. And the thing is, and I'm going to go back over these more in detail later, but she approached him, and it all started because she despised him in her heart. Now, do you think she would have despised him in her heart if she was with him out there praising God, jumping and glorifying God with him? You see what she did to herself? She had an opportunity to get out there and give God glory too alongside her husband. And she chose to stay in the palace and look out the window. How many Christians have decided to stay in the palace and look out the window? They're not out there doing what they're supposed to be doing, but yet they're going to look out the window and criticize everybody else that is. You see, that is a bungle of praise. You bungled it. Verse 20, he went out, he blessed people, he gave, and it was, I love Scripture because it says they gave a little cake, one had dates and one had raisins. The Scripture gives us detailed, accurate of the events, and it's important. Everything's important in Scripture. Every verse. Every word. David had given this out, and now he goes back to bless his own house. This was probably the happiest moment of his life. He was just so full of joy. And by the way, what does God say in His Word about joy? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Maybe that's why so many Christians don't have the strength. Because their joy has been stolen. And by the way, who steals joy? The devil. And guess what? The big question is, who lets the devil steal the joy? The devil can't steal your joy unless you let him. You're the one that has to open the gate. You're the one that has to allow the devil to steal that joy. Because I have seen people devastated. I have seen people hurting. And they may be down, but they're saying, it's all right, God loves me and God is good. And you can see the joy. They can't hardly show it on their face yet, but you see it in their heart. And you know what? God notices that. Through the greatest heartaches, there can still be joy because you have Him. And He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And by the way, He's enough. And He always should be. She met Him at the door, in verse 20. When David returned to bless his household, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, she didn't even let him get down and sit in his recliner. She met him at the door. She came charging at him, met him at the door. And I mean, this is the king of Israel, God's chosen king. And she runs at him. And she doesn't say, oh, I saw you glorified the Lord. No, her mind wasn't on God. Her mind was on herself. Look, she said, how the king of Israel distinguished himself today. Exclamation points at the end of that. And I tried to read it with some of the sarcasm and the smart aleck attitude that she probably had when she said it. I did try. Oh, how the king of Israel distinguished himself today. He uncovered himself in the eyes of his servants. Now, when she said that, it wasn't like he stripped a shirt off. It says he's wearing a linen ephod. What she's basically talking about him being uncovered was he didn't have his kingly garments, and he was there to give God glory as an Israelite. He wasn't marching down as king. And I think David did not want to steal any attention or glory from God. It was all about the Ark of the Covenant and about the Lord. And that's what he was doing. And Michal confronted him openly, mocking his praise. You humbled yourself in front of everybody. They don't see you as a king. And she falsely accused him. And the other maids that watch you, they see you as just a common man, not as their kingly leader. By the way, whenever you're trying to praise God, you're going to be mocked. Whenever you try to praise God, you're going to be falsely accused. Boy, the world's good at that today, aren't they? And there don't have to be an ounce of truth to it. All they got to do is accuse you now. And they'll have to set up an investigative committee to decide. You know what? Why does man keep trying to do God's job? God's the one that decides, and it's right in here. You see, and the very ones that are falsely accusing you are the ones, they're not concerned about God. They're concerned about their own ego and their own pride. And that's what Michal was doing. Michal, his wife, was doing this. She challenged David, verses 21 and 22. So David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me above your father. See, David let her know, it was God who put this. And I like this. He said he decided to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. And then here's David's resolve. Therefore, I will celebrate before the Lord. I love that. You know what? Maybe that's a sentence we need to memorize. Okay? I will celebrate before the Lord. You go out, flat tire, I will celebrate before the Lord. And you say, well, You can't fake it. And by the way, praise and thanks can't be faked. You can't. It'll be seen through. I will tell you this, it can be manufactured. Manufactured? What do you mean by that? It can be. You can manufacture praise and thanks even when you don't want to. Can you do what's right even when you don't want to? Yeah. Can you do something good when you don't want to? Yeah. You can give praise and thanks even when your physical flesh doesn't want to. You can manufacture it. It's a decision that you make. Just like you make a decision to love somebody that may not love you. You make a decision to show kindness and love to somebody that doesn't show it to you. Isn't that what Jesus did to us? Man, if we're supposed to be like Jesus, why is that so hard for us? We're only friends to people that are friends with us. We're only good to people that are good to us. We only love people that love us. Well, guess what? That doesn't make us like Jesus. That makes us like the world. It's when those people don't do those things and we feel that way and we show the love, we show the goodness that we're different and we're Jesus. That's when you show Jesus to them through your life, not through what you're just telling. See, she confronted David, she challenged David, and David says, the Lord did this, and I will celebrate before the Lord. And he says, by the way, I will humble myself even more. David had resolved to even say, I'm going to praise God even more. I don't care if they don't see me as the king. I don't have to wear a crown. God's the one that put me on this chair. I like this. This is David actually went on to say, the people you're talking about that see me, they will see me as distinguished. See, when you quit trying to put on airs and you put yourself out there before God, God's the one that raises up and God's the one that pulls down. And when you put yourself in God's hands, then you're not so worried about your status, your situation, your ego. You're worried about God's will. And when God's will is supreme in your life, that's when you're giving praise and thanks. By the way, the last verse, 23, and Michael, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. You see, she ceased to serve her purpose. And you say, well, Michael's purpose was just to have a child. What was the queen's purpose? Stop and look at this. The queen's purpose was to be, first of all, she was to be a helpmeet to her husband. Was she doing that? No. She wasn't fulfilling that purpose. She was actually a hindrance. She was hurting him. As the queen of Israel, she was to be a leader for her people, to be out there and have her people following her example. Was she doing that? No. She was actually opposed to that because of her own pride. Next, as a queen of Israel, she was supposed to produce an heir to take to sit on the throne. And guess what? Because of her attitude, because of her refusal to praise and give thanks to God, God snatched that away from her. And it was probably with the husband's consent, too. See, she just became one of those that sat. She lost her status. And she did not produce the heir. And she could have been there to do that. But because of her choices, she didn't. And the last thing, where she ceased to serve her purpose, Michael, the daughter of Saul, as she's referred to. Did you catch that too, by the way? She's not referred to as the helpmeet to David. She's not referred to as a... She was David's wife, but she's referred to as the daughter of Saul. She failed to serve her purpose because she failed to glorify God. And that is one thing. That is one thing all of us can make sure we do more of, is glorify God. She had an opportunity to do it, and she ceased to serve her purpose, and that's why God had her there, and she did not do it. Now, you say, man, Brett, that is one of the worst fails that I've ever seen as far as praise. And every opportunity in the world to be one of the greatest. Let's look at Psalm 111. I'm not going to end on a negative note. We're going to end on a positive note. How do you end on a negative note in a message about praise? Go to Psalm 111. Let's go forward a little bit. Psalm 111. And I want to talk about the benefits of praise. We looked at the bungling of praise. Let's look at the benefits of praise. In Psalm 111, verse 1, it starts out, praise the Lord! Exclamation point. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart in the company of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. Splendid and majestic is His work, and His righteousness endures forever. He has made His wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He has given food to those who fear Him. He will remember His covenant forever. He has made known to His people the power of His works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of His hands are truth and justice. All His precepts are sure. They are upheld forever and ever. They are performed in truth and uprightness. He has set redemption to His people. He has ordained His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. You see, I had somebody one time was talking to me about heaven, and they said, if all we're going to be doing is up there praising the Lord, wouldn't that get boring? I said, if you're thinking like that, you're really mixed up. Would you really get bored in heaven if we were singing and praising? I'm like, maybe that's why you don't like to go to church. Because guess what? Our fellowship, our church services, what's it supposed to be like? Heaven. As a matter of fact, every social event, contact with each other, should be like heaven. Have you ever been talking with somebody and having such a good time you lose track of time? Did you get bored during that time? Y'all know what I'm talking about. I've done it. I had no clue. And if your life has been so regimented that you can't remember that, go back to when you're a little kid. If you go back to when you're a little kid and you're on the bicycle and you're playing in the neighborhood, and maybe your parents say, look, supper's at 5 o'clock, you better be back to eat supper. And you're off playing. Next thing you know, and back in the old days, you live close enough, your mother would just go on the back porch and start yelling, and you could hear. Yeah, it would carry for a block or so usually you were within that vicinity. And you'd be playing, having the best time with your buddies, your friends, and you had no clue. And next thing you know, you heard your name. And you knew if they used your middle name with your first name, you were really in trouble. You know what I'm talking about? And you would just freeze. I've been out here for... And you know, you come in and you're like an hour late or something, and you've been out there playing for 3 hours, and your parents are wondering, how could you play for 3 hours and not even know it? But you did. It's because you didn't have a clue. Well, guess what? That's what heaven's like. Time is irrelevant. Time is not your enemy. Gravity is not your enemy. And the older I get, the two greatest enemies I have, gravity and time. But guess what? In heaven it ain't. It's not. We are going to have the best time and the best praise. But you know, I think God left me here so I could practice up. And it's time. Don't wait till you get to heaven to start praising God. You started praising God the minute you got saved. And if you're not saved, get saved today. And you know what the Bible says? If someone gets saved today, what the angels in heaven are doing, they are having a free-for-all of praise up there. Well, guess what? If the angels are having praise session up there, what should we be doing down here? Same thing. I'm starting to get goosebumps. You better be careful. We should be praising down here like they're doing up there. By the way, Psalm 111, it starts out with the resolve to praise the Lord, almost like a command. And it's a recognition of what God has done. If you stop and recognize that God saved my soul, it was damned to hell, you would praise Him the way you should. And I think as Christians, when we stop praising, we forget. We got away from that first love because we forget. We got to be reminded where you came from. You got to be reminded what He did for you when He saved you. When He reached down and showed love to you when nobody else did or would. That was one of the greatest things when I got saved. When I was a little kid, I kind of felt like nobody cared. And I did find out later my parents did. I just didn't feel like they did. But the fact that Jesus died on the cross for me, and they shared and they said that He did that for you, and if you were the only person in the world that needed to be saved, He still would have done it. That made an impression on me. And I thought, somebody cares about me. And I knew. And I gave my heart to Jesus and I asked Him to save me. You see, the benefits of praise is to recognize what He's done, His works. It said here that God did what was right. Great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in Him. Maybe we would praise God more if we realized what He's done. Maybe we would praise God more if we studied what He has done, because it says it brings delight. By the way, the benefits of praise. Can you be praising God and depressed at the same time? Can you be praising God and be stressed out at the same time? No. Can you be praising God and have anxiety at the same time? So why do we run around and we're... And I'm not knocking anybody that has to take medication. If you do, you do. And if you have to, take it. But you know what? How many of us struggle with things? And if you think about it, if you're praising and thanking God, you wouldn't even be struggling with those things. A benefit of praise is when you're praising God. And by the way, one of the biggest things, while you're praising God, you're probably not going to be tempted to sin. Or if you are tempted to sin, you're probably not going to fall into sin. It's hard to fall into sin when you're in the middle of praising God and glorifying God. And we talked this morning in Sunday school about the joy of the Lord. The joy that I mentioned a while ago. That joy that you let the devil steal from you sometime. By the way, if you got the joy of the Lord and your praises on your lips, guess what? You usually don't mess up quite as bad, do you? You see, think about His works, what He did. Think about His righteousness and how, in verse 4, He is gracious and compassionate. He is so gracious and compassionate. His wonders are amazing. He has provided food, His provision, His covenant, His promises. See, we serve a God that keeps His promises and His covenants, and He never will fail us. Verses 7 through 10, the works of the Lord of His hands are truth and justice. You see, God actually put His responsibilities out there for us to see. Whenever we're doing a job or we're required to be somewhere, we don't like to say what we're responsible for because you can make a big list. Then you got a lot to do. God's not afraid to put His list right in front of us in Scripture that is perfect, that is inspired and holy. See, He says truth, justice, redemption. He is holy. And it goes down and says He is awesome. Holy and awesome is His name. You can't say that unless it's true. And His name is holy and awesome. And when we realize this and we feel this way, praise and thanks rolls right off. By the way, when I said it could be manufactured, it's manufactured with a decision, but it's regenerated by an attitude. And if the attitude isn't right, it can't regenerate itself. It's almost like planting a seed in the ground and refusing to give it water. You can make a decision to put a seed in the dirt, but if you deprive it of the moisture it needs, it will not sprout, it will not grow. Praise and thanksgiving, it's a decision to do it, but I will tell you, if the attitude is right, it's just like pouring water on that seed. If the attitude is there, it will regenerate, it will grow, and it will multiply some 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Yes. And wouldn't it be wonderful for our praise to be multiplied hundreds of fold over all the time, every day? Not just when we're having a good day, but when we're having a bad day. By the way, another benefit of praise, you never have a bad day. What if I could tell you, maybe that should be the title of the message. Maybe we should put that on the sign outside. Come hear a message and you'll never have another bad day. Maybe the place would fill up. Because seriously, that is the secret to never having a bad day. Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. Those three things embody what it is. The beginning, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's your salvation. That's when you come. You come to Him and you know Him as Savior. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. Being obedient to what's in here. That's the secret to never having a bad day. See, when I'm saved, I can't have a bad day. When I'm obeying Him, I can't have a bad day. And then the third thing is the spontaneous one that says, His praise endures forever. And that's the one that naturally just flows off because the attitude's there. We're going to celebrate Thanksgiving with turkey and dressings and dinners and loved ones around the table. But you know what? Every day is a day of thanksgiving. Every day is a day of praise. And we're going to be praising Him every day this year. Make a resolve. And when the devil creeps up to discourage you, when the devil creeps in to make you down or have a down day, don't get on the computer and vent. Get on your knees and praise. And your life will be different. I know Diane's down there. Just bow your heads. We'll have an invitation without music. And I just want you to pray to God. And if God told you, come down front, you come down front. If you need to be saved, you get saved today. Don't wait. But if God wants you to come down just to pray with me, or you need to come down and get on these steps and pray, get down here and pray.